This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, the importance of the Word of God to the people of God is the focus of our lessons. And it's appropriate because this is the season of Epiphany, and it's Epiphany where Christ is revealed. And he is revealed through the Word of God. Our first lesson today takes place after the nation of Israel has been allowed to return to their homeland. You know, the Babylonians had conquered Israel and had sent them into exile, taken them to captivity in Babylon. And then the Persian king Cyrus, conquers Babylon. And God touches the heart of this foreign king, and he's moved to allow Israel to return to their homeland. And not only does Cyrus allow them to return, but he helps fund the reconstruction of the nation of Israel. So Nehemiah, he's the governor of Israel, and he returns along with the priest Ezra, and they oversee the rebuilding of Jerusalem, and especially of the city walls around Jerusalem. And our reading today takes place once that wall is rebuilt. The people of God gather to mark that occasion by worshiping together. So in our reading today, not only do we get a little glimpse of what Jewish worship was like, but we also get a sense as to how vitally important and powerful the written word of God was to the people as they assembled to give thanks and praise to God in worship. We read how the priest Ezra reads from the book of the law. And isn't it interesting how the people respond? You know, they've been out of their country for 60 years. But when they're gathered back together at home, they hear their holy scriptures read, the people stand up in appreciation. Did you catch that? They cry, "Amen, amen." Obviously not Lutheran. And as God's strong written word is proclaimed to them, our text says it was interpreted. That means there was some preaching going on. The people bow their head in worship. And before long, they're brought to tears. People are so moved by God's revealed word. And I think this is what identifies us and marks us as the people of God, that we get together regularly to give thanks and praise to God. Paul rightly calls us in that second lesson the body of Christ. And I wonder if you caught how our worship today bears a strong resemblance to the worship of the Hebrew people that's described in those days of Nehemiah. We welcome the reading of the gospel by rising, don't we? We often bow our heads in prayer and in worship. But think of how central God's written word is to us in our worship. You know, maybe more so here than and lots of other places where you might go to worship. Every week, we have four readings from the Bible. Two from the Old Testament, one of which is a psalm. And then we have two readings from the New Testament, one of which comes right out of the Gospels. We read the Scriptures because we know there's power in God's Word. And just like in our first lesson, we set aside some time to interpret, to proclaim or preach about some aspect of that written word. I'm going to suggest to you that that is exactly what's going on in our gospel lesson today. Jesus, whose reputation as a teacher and preacher is growing, returns to his hometown of Nazareth, and as was his custom on the Sabbath day, goes to the synagogue, where he's invited to teach. And what happens? The attendant gives Jesus that written word of God. This particular time, it's the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. And what's interesting to me is that Jesus opens the scroll and he searches through it until he finds that passage that he wants to preach on. He begins to read from what we know today as Isaiah 61. And it's all about that long-promised, long-awaited arrival of the Messiah, who would liberate and vindicate Israel. Jesus reads this text, and there is just no doubt that it points to Messiah. There's a direct reference in that to the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and to this person being the anointed one of God. And that's what Messiah means. Jesus selects this text, reads from God's written word, and then hands that scroll back to the attendant. And I love the way Luke writes this. With every eye in the synagogue on this hometown boy made good, Jesus sits down, as rabbis did in those days, and begins to teach. And the very first word out of his mouth is electric. Today, Jesus says, today, that scripture from Isaiah is fulfilled in your hearing. In this little sentence, Jesus makes the outstanding claim that today, right now, the Messiah was standing before them in that synagogue in Nazareth. Now, next week, we'll talk a little bit about how Jesus elaborates on this claim and how the reaction of the people changes as he does. But for right now, I just want us to focus on those actual written words from God and why Jesus chose to speak on them in front of his people, the people in his hometown. Because remember, his reputation as a teacher and a healer has preceded Jesus. He's becoming known as a prophet, and this is a big deal in Israel at the time. There hadn't been a prophet in Israel for over 300 years, and then John the Baptist and Jesus show up. And so this is a time of great spiritual expectation. And here comes Jesus. Jesus comes along and claims to be the Messiah, that he was the fulfillment of that prophecy about the anointed one of God, coming in to usher in the day of the Lord. And most incredible of all is this claim that this starts today. It wasn't something that they were going to look forward to, you know, centuries down the road. Messiah was here today. And as any devout Jew would know, that changed everything. What's interesting to me is that the verse Jesus chose to read from Isaiah gives us a clear clue as to the kind of Messiah that Jesus was going to be. And here again next week, we'll take a look at where Jesus chose to stop this reading from Isaiah, because that's significant too. But for us today, it's just significant, I think, and I just want us to grab this, that Jesus describes himself as being a gentle, healing Messiah. Jesus was a Messiah who was going to preach good news to the poor, the kind of Messiah that would bring release to the captives, give sight to the blind, and freedom to those who are oppressed. In this passage from Isaiah, Jesus was claiming that the year of Jubilee, the year of the Lord's favor, was starting with him. And this was a time when the people and even the land in Israel gained freedom. It was a whole year of joy and liberation. Israelites who had sold themselves into slavery or indentured servanthood were freed during the year of Jubilee. In Jubilee, the slate's wiped clean, and Israelites were given a chance to start anew, and especially the poor people. And Jesus was just adamant that this good news, the beginning of this year of Jubilee, wasn't decades down the road, it was beginning today. Isn't it the same with us? First century Jews needed to hear gospel or good news. And so do we. And we need that word not decades down or centuries down the road from now, but we need it today too. I know that I'm not the only one in this building that needs freedom and release right now. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus is the Word made flesh. And he is ready, willing, and able to bring release to captives and freedom to the oppressed today, if we'll just ask him to do that. You know, sin in all its various and ugly forms would hold us captive and separate us from God forever if it were not for the work that Jesus did for us on the cross. He took those sins that threatened to separate us from God and hold us captive and oppress us, and he nailed them to the cross. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Don't you love that? The word of the cross. The word of the cross is the power of God for those of us who are being saved. We are at once saved and being saved. From what? From that sin that threatens to separate us, oppress us, and keep us down. You don't have to be much of a student of culture today to see that there is a spirit of bitterness, and I'll just say outright hatred, that's rampant in the world today, that separates us from one another and separates us from God. It's oppressive, and it holds us captive. And I'm going to suggest to you that the only way for that kind of oppressive spirit to be removed is through the power of Christ in our lives. You know, we don't have to look at the world at large. We don't have to look any further than our own family sometimes to see that spirit of hostility or anger that exists and that holds us captive sometimes. One sister flatly declares that she's done with her other sister because she's just tired of all the snide remarks when they talk on the phone together. One brother covets the life of another brother, and they can't be in the same room together for more than a couple of minutes before it's obvious to everybody there that there's something going on between those two. Little differences that separate parents from their kids, whether those kids are grown up or not, threaten to grow and metastasize and just become a divisive influence that separates families today. Every one of us, in our own way, needs the healing and release that only Christ can bring in our lives. And our gospel lesson makes it absolutely clear that healing, that year of Jubilee, is available to us today in Christ. Christ is the very Word of God who became flesh and dwells among us. Those promises of redemption, release from sin, healing and wholeness, hear over and over again in God's Word. And that's why we lay hold of those promises by keeping God's Word central during our worship. You remember in that first lesson, when the people heard Ezra read from the Holy Scriptures, our text says that they were moved to tears. And sometimes God's Word has that effect on us. You know, we hear that Word of God and we might be confronted by our own sin, and we're moved to tears. We might be overcome with joy from God's mercy and grace, and we're moved to tears. But sometimes those tears come. And did you notice that at the end of that lesson, Nehemiah encourages the people to dry those tears and to go home and rejoice in God's goodness. Go home and celebrate. Feast. Eat good food, drink good wine, and share with those who don't have those things. They were to celebrate God's goodness. Thanks be to God that we actually make feasting part of our worship service, don't we? After we confess our sinfulness and we hear God's Word read and preached, we share in the Lord's Supper. We believe and teach that Christ is truly present in, under, through the bread and the wine that we take together. It's present with us today to bring healing and wholeness and release. Holy Communion, that feast where all are welcome, is one way we celebrate God's goodness. When we gather at the Lord's table, we're following the command of Christ, and we lay claim to His promise to be with us always. What an honor and privilege it is to partake in this holy sacrament. Sometimes I just think we take it for granted. I'm going to close with a short story. This week I saw a video that was posted by Penn Jillette. You may know him as a famous magician, Penn and Teller. He's this celebrity. And some of you know that he is an avowed atheist. But he's not one of those strident, mean-spirited voices that are always condemning people of faith. He's just not like that. And in this video, Penn Jillette's talking about how, after one of his shows, he met a man backstage who spoke to him in a very complimentary manner. They had a little discussion, and Penn was pretty sure that this fellow knew that he was an atheist. But the man looked him right in the eye and said, "I want you to have this." And he gave him a Bible where he had written a little personal message in it. And as Penn was telling this story, you could see how touched he was by this man's gesture. He calls it wonderful. Anyway, he goes on to talk about how meaningful this gift was, and how even as an atheist, he had to respect someone who was willing to risk what he called social awkwardness to share the gospel with him. And as he was talking about the quote that just stuck in my mind, from right out of Penn Jillette's mouth, he says, "How much do you have to hate someone not to proselytize? How much do you have to hate someone to believe in everlasting life and then not tell someone about that?" All this from a person who is not a person of faith. But he didn't resent being told. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have been given a precious gift. We've been given God's written word as a guide to full and rich life. We've been given the Word made flesh. Christ Jesus, who promises to be with us always and to make us right before a holy God. He is God's Son. The one who brings healing, wholeness, and release today. I know you know someone who needs to hear that message of hope. And so I'm going to ask you today, just to make a promise to yourself to risk social awkwardness and to invite someone to experience the bread of life and the cup of salvation. Amen.